I think I've got it labeled backwards. Now, this is channel one right. This has to be channel one right because it goes the whole length of this reel, and then on channel one over is a short part. And I've got it backwards. I've labeled it backwards. And then it's the next one you see on channel two, I've got it the other way around. Now, this has to be channel one right. It's all here. It's all here. This, it's all here. Channel one right. It's all here. Monday after supper, the 28th of June, 71. Monday after supper, the 28th of June, 71. Monday after supper, 28th of June, 71. Channel 1 right.
Good. It won't long just stand.
Well, no, I wouldn't bother. We just do it.
It won't as long as just stand.
No, we'll just do it.
Listen, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to be sure and come when the week that the Chuck Wagon game's on. Now, they is the one that sings all those songs we used to sing about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all along in there.
Yeah. Well, now, how do you know when that's going to be on?
It comes on day 30, but you see, we are a little too late getting it on. And,
this is a Chuck Wagon?
No, I don't know whether they're on this week or not.
Oh, I see. Not on every week.
No, they have different singers from a lot of different places. Not just one singer sings every night.
Yeah.
They sing for about a week. See, they sell these records, you know.
Well, that's the name of the group.
Yeah.
The Chuck Wagon.
Yeah, the Chuck Wagon is the name of that, of the directors. That's the name of it. Is it like, they've got several different ones that sing over classes, you know. And you take Spears, I've heard them sing, I've seen them sing in person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember for sure where that the Chuck Wagon gang, I guess it was singing in Tennessee when I was up there. I stayed. I went up one Christmas, spent Christmas up there, you know, and I liked it pretty well, and came back, stayed at home about a week or two, and I went back up there.
Yeah.
And I stayed about 8 months up there then.
Up at Lawrenceburg?
Around in over at Wayne County. I stayed over at Collinswood most of the time and worked in a sawmill.
Yeah.
$17.50 a month.
Well, let's see now. Where is Collinswood, Mr.?
Well, do you know where most of the shows in Florence, Alabama,
sure.
And all
yeah.
in there?
Yeah.
Well, you go right straight north, right on towards Nashville.
I see.
Right up, and you go, you first cross over in some smaller town, then you come into Loretta.
Yeah.
And I had quite a few relatives there around Loretta.
Oh, did you?
And so I had one, Weaver lived at Leoma, up there at 5 miles Lawrenceburg. You know where Lawrenceburg is? It's a pretty good sized town.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Waynesboro is in Wayne County, just west of that, directly west of Lawrenceburg.
Lawrenceburg, yeah.
And I stayed there a while and I couldn't find any work. Then I went over to visit a cousin over there, and this fellow wanted somebody to cut timber for him. Well, I'd been cutting timber and I'd wanted to learn the sawmill business, and I went ahead and went to work for him. $17 a month.
And board.
Yeah, got board.
Oh,
sun up to sundown. In the summertime.
3 meals a day.
Yeah, but board, it was plenty of everything. Nobody went away hungry from that table.
Yeah.
He was a worker, too.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get a kick out of going out and working because I was used to it all my life. You know, it didn't hurt me to go and work.
Yeah.
And my cousin told me, he says, now you out to work, says that's the workingest man in the state of Tennessee. You're gonna go to work for.
Well, he warned you.
Well, I didn't tell him. I'd been cutting timber down in Alabama, you know, for my friends there, you see. And so I said, I'll go over there and take it. He said, now you like to work, you get over there. And see, a lot of people, boy, that way out won't work. I went over there, and this is kind of funny to me, you see. I was used to cutting timber, and they wasn't.
Yeah.
And I could file a saw just as good as anybody could file one.
Yeah.
So that I followed the soul that morning, the first thing. It wasn't followed, wasn't right, and set it and everything, cut the drags down and fixed it real good. And the man I was working for went out to try me out to see if I'd work. We got out there, you know, and he pulled the saw, and I pulled it too. Well, I could tell it was hurting him, wasn't it? Wasn't me, because I was used to it.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of difference too. I'm not kidding you. So that.
But he's pulling it pretty lively.
He is pulling it lively. Well, about I reckon son is about an hour high, a little over, you know, about 2 hours high.
Yeah.
He says, "Let's sit down and rest a minute." I said, okay, and we said, I didn't let him sit there for a few minutes. I said, we better get up and go to work. I said, all right, we can get this tree in, we can get this oven, we can get this oven over here, and we get this sawed up. We'd cut that down, I'd saw it up. I was getting pulled out three or four big trees for us to cut down, you know. Well, you take cutting oak, you know, we don't cut fast like pine.
Yeah.
So that we got it. We went ahead and cut it, and we cut that tree up, you know, and he just, after he sat down there a little bit, he was just ready to quit, you know. And we did finish sawing that one up. I picked the tools up and I said, well, let's come on out here and get these other three right quick. They'll be quitting down then, by the time we get that. He said, I'm tired, let's go home. He said, we done enough today. The next morning, no, he first sent his best man out with me, and then the next one, he said, I'll go out with him. I heard him talking, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't know I heard it, you see. And I laughed when he said that. I said, well, he'd be soft, too. I said, he's not used to it. I said, ain't nobody, I can't do it, and nobody else can stand it like you can if you're used to it.
Yeah.
And so come in, and he laughed and said, how'd you come out? He said, he didn't take care of me. And we worked that way all the time. Didn't matter who come in there working, you know. We worked, and if we needed two or three to saw, you know, and we had the men,
yeah.
I'd do the saw filing and figuring out and marking all the logs, you see, and just cutting the bill stuff part of the time, and you had to look at the tree and tell what they could cut out of it and what length to put it. And you had to look at the tree and figure what you could cut out of it if you cut that and get any boards out of that.
Yeah.
And the size of the tree, and you go, then look at your bill, what you cut it and cut the length, and I had to mark on the end of every log what it was. Well, there wasn't but two of us out there, you see. I had to do all that marking. I did most of the notching and trimming up, too. And of course, Hammond was the least of any of it, and I'd let them do that, because most of them hadn't had the experience I had in it, and I'd notch a tree to fall it like I wanted it, and you keep them doing any damage, you see, and getting in the way,
yeah.
And before it could get out. You got to figure all that in it with it, too. So that,
that's right.
I'd let them do the hammering, you see. That's, you know, if we went to painting or anything, or we wanted to saw it and had to raise it up a little bit to make it go and miss certain things. And it's easier to do the hammer than it was to do the notching trimming up. And I'd do that, you see, and I'd done all the laying off and marking that, the length it wanted it.
Well, now the hammering, that's, you take your chisel and put in there?
Take the iron wedge.
Your wedge, I mean.
Take the wedge and put in there, and then have the hammer. We, a lot of times we made them out of, made the best thing to use was a maul made, cut a hickory down about that large around.
Yeah.
And cut it down and make your handle on that there and cut it down straight and let it be about that long. That's the best thing to use to maul with. It's better than a steel, but we use steel part of the time. It batter up your wedges and get where it mess them up using a steel hammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you using blacksmith shop, those
yeah.
big old hammers they had, we used those
yeah,
too.
More, you can make you another one.
Well, make another one, and it didn't hurt the wedge, and didn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
And there's really, that's really the best thing to use, but it don't take too long to make them all. And He just saw down in it there, so where you going to stop that and leave that main, all that body of the tree right there. You cut your handle down about 2 inches or 1 3/4 inches all around on that handle, and that makes a good mold. You see, it's gold, gold in, it's made in with a mold.
Yeah.
You don't have to put it in there, you don't have no trouble. Maybe you'll sometimes hit too hard or hit wrong and break it. You will eventually break it.
If you hit wrong, that's what I'm saying.
If you hit right on the end of it, or right at that back at that back end, if you hit the center, you'll never do it any damage.
Yeah.
But you'll wear that mold from in there, and you'll have to make another one. But those steel hammers we use, they're just stoning on, but they get a wedge, running wedges bad.
Now you're notching, you just did that with the axe?
Notching, yeah. Notching, I just cut the notch to let the tree make it fall the way I want it to. That's what it's called notching, you see. And,
Do you saw into it first?
Well, you can do that, but I could use axe pretty good. I'd cut about as quick as I could pull and saw, and then change in two, you know.
I'd
just take the axe and didn't have to notch it. Some of them didn't have to notch them very much. If you didn't notch them, some of them would split up, you know, and damage the timber, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to notch a little below where you was going to cut, so it would break off, you know, when it got to that, and wouldn't split the tree.
Well, I hadn't thought of that.
You have to watch that. If you come in at the same place, it may split, and it catches over here, it may make it split out and run your material.
Yeah.
And oak timber, we was cutting up there in Tennessee, there's some good oak.
Yeah.
But I worked a while over at another mill that they right down in a big holler. That was just north of Collinswood, and this about 7 or 8 miles. We went right down the holler to that from Collinswood from town. And she they'd cut a lot of pup wood in there. About making, they had it cut out a lot of that timber out, especially the red oak. And they cut quite a bit of that all through in there and had it racked up. It had to be 4 feet high and 8 feet long. And they called it a cord. And it's cord wood, they called it when it's cutting cord wood.
Yeah.
Not pup wood. Pup wood is the way we cut pine down here, but that was cord wood there in Tennessee. And that was interesting, but the cord wood mill got so much cut, they went down, went broke and went out of business.
And when you was cutting these oaks down, and you had to put it out there where it wouldn't get in your way.
We had to, you could pull it, then you could pull some of the logs across it and then make it be up so you could saw it good and easy, wouldn't have to use a hammer.
Oh.
There's a lot more to cutting timber and being a woods foreman than it looked like it would be.
Yeah.
But I'd worked through the summer around down there in Alabama with my friends, you know, and cut timber for them, and that's where I made my money, you know. And so after we finished the crop until it got ready together, then I'd have to quit and go and gather the crop, you know.
Yeah.
Then in the winter, if I wasn't doing something else, I could go back and work something else. It's nice to help me out, you know. But I worked. I didn't play with it.
Well, now, did they keep going 12 months a year?
Yeah. But sometimes they didn't have enough hands, you see.
Yeah.
See, I'd have to quit then because I farmed back at that time. I farmed 5 years for myself, except in through the winter, you know, starting about 1st of March, you know, when I started.
I didn't realize that. You mean after you left your daddy, you farmed 5 years for yourself?
Yeah.
Had your own place?
I'd leased land and rented it.
Yeah, rented it.
And farmed to myself. After I was 20 years old, well, I was 21 in March. Next spring, and I went to work in the fall to myself. I told Daddy, I said, if you'll let me go now and be satisfied, you can have everything. And I said, I won't ever ask you for a penny. And I go to work for myself now. He wanted me to work on him, but he was getting all the money, you know. I'd worked long enough, from 8 years old till I was 20. And I thought I'd done enough for the family.
Well, now, when you took this land that you rented, What you farmed it on shares?
No, well, yeah, I used some of my daddy's land. He didn't need it all when I quit working for him on the farm. They didn't need all the land they had, and I leased some company land there, you see, and I'd cultivate about 30 acres a year by myself.
Yeah.
And you take what got me, I'd always plowed all my life, and I wasn't as good with a hoe, but I done my own hoe in the first year, a couple of years, then I got the horn, a lot of that done, you see, I go to town and work on Saturdays in the barbershop, and hire me a hand all the week for what I'd make in the barbershop.
Yeah.
So that helped me a whole lot, you know.
Couldn't afford the hoe, could you?
Well, I did a whole lot of great deal of myself, you know, because I was paying 2.5 a day for the hands I was hauling.
2.5 a day?
Yeah, for the hands I was hauling. But I tell you, I didn't have to stay down and tell them what to do either.
Well, I didn't know anybody got that much.
Well, I paid more than anybody else around there because I wanted the best hands and they're the cheapest. You pay them and go out there and they don't work, by the way, you lose money. You can't, and if you have to stay down and watch them and keep them working, show them how, you may as well do it yourself.
You might as well do it yourself.
That's the way I did. And I'd tell them, I didn't fire nobody. I told them, I said, I don't fire nobody. I said, you fire yourself. I said, I'll go out there and show you what I want done if you can do it. I said, I won't get mad and I won't fuss at you about it. I said, you can't do it, you can't help it.
Now, that's when you went to these singing
schools. Oh, yeah, I've been going for 5 or 6 years then, before I was 21. I started about 14, 15 years old singing.
Yeah. Well, now, let me see, Mr. Weaver, when did it happen? Just in the summertime?
Well, mostly in the summertime. See, in the wintertime, if you sung, of course, you could sing you could be in a house and like it's insulated now, it doesn't make any difference which when you sing. Like singing over radio now, but we didn't have that. And in a church house, you got cold or had a cold, and you could contract cold very easy in the winter, it'd run your voice. And if you have just the least bit of cold, you better not sing. Your first thing you know, you can't sing nothing.
Well, you got all the spring and the fall.
Yeah, we started long in April most of the time. In May is when we really went to singing and then sang all summer.
When the weather got warm.
Yeah, when the weather got warm, you see, and wasn't so bad to go out, you know. And you think you had to go some little distance to sing. I know a friend of mine, he taught music, and I went to school to him quite a bit. Well, he'd get some of us to go with him around and he'd help him sing where he wanted us, picking on teaching and getting a school to teach. And he picked out a few of us, about four of us, he had a car and he'd carry us in the car and we'd sing and help him get to school, you know, in different places. That helped him out, that helped us too. We got to go
then
and
he'd
the
have, then he'd have that school.
Then he'd teach school right then.
Yeah.
I imagine you've been to him, haven't you?
Yes, and then you could have, then he could have any singing on there he wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on Sunday. When do you sing?
Sunday? All the week when it's a singing school, from 8 o'clock till 5 in the afternoon. Took off just like we go to singing at 8 o'clock in the morning and studying music, you see.
Yeah.
We had so many songs we had to sing every day, you know.
Yeah.
And you had to learn them.
We practiced on them, and when at the end of the school, you know, mankind, there'd be people come from, I don't know, 25, 30 miles sometimes still singing.
Well, now,
at the end of the school.
That's it. Now, when he got that school, Mr. Weaver, at the end of school, he had to have some singing, didn't he?
Yeah, you couldn't. The yards would be full and stand all around and every seat in all the churches. And they had large churches up there. They had large in Tennessee before I was up there, too.
Yeah.
I sung when I was up there in Tennessee. I never say nothing much about it because Someone asked me to sing now. I couldn't sing three notes now.
Well, now, now these would be just the grown people.
No, children. We had little children started singing and like that. And you
in the school.
In the school, and I'll tell you some of them could sing alto, and where the alto took the lead, we had two little girls I had to sing, went singing alto about that high. Boy, they're sitting over on the bench when it comes to them to do the lead, their part led, and nobody else sung with them, you know. Man, those little kids could sing that alto.
Yeah.
They're like grown people.
Yeah.
You see, you learn quicker, you start, easier it is you learn. And now,
yeah.
A lot of people don't believe that.
And then they don't notice it. They don't get stage fright
and
things.
And when you're in school...
See, you got stage fright. You said you did.
Beg your pardon?
You got stage fright.
Yeah, sometimes. And that is the worst thing. It takes me... I wouldn't get over it maybe till the next day, you see.
Yeah.
And see, I never tremble. I never tremble. And I'd be up there, I'd be a-singing, and I just felt like I was shaking the house down.
Well, now...
And that's a stage fright.
Yeah, at the end of school now, when he had...
Usually, when I was going to school, you know, that
no,
didn't
I'm
bother me.
No, I'm talking about this man where you went over there, and he got to school.
Uh-huh.
Now, at the end of the school, then they just sing.
Oh, yeah, well, they'd sing all day the last day.
All
day,
none
of them studied the last
oh.
day. All day long. And there'd be people, lots of people from different places come in and sing. I'd be there at that thing and hear it, you know.
And they was the pupils.
Well, part of them was, but part of them wasn't. You see, there'd be people that come from a long ways as good singers and sing that last day with us and help us.
They'd sing with you.
Yeah, and they'd maybe bring a quartet with them and sing.
Yes.
Well, we always had a quartet too, you see.
Yeah.
And we'd sing quartets and between times, between our, when the whole class was singing.
Well, the whole class could
everybody,
sing.
The whole house, anybody was welcome to sing that last day.
Yeah.
Well, they could come in and visit and sing in any time they wanted to. See, it was more free than it is today, you know. You've got to be now just exactly like the people want you now to
yeah.
go and sing.
Well,
but then... We invited everybody. In
yes, and then the whole class would sing.
Just as soon as a singer come and walked in the door right out of the way, they called him up and had him come over. And if he was a tenor singer, they'd tell him where the tenor needs to walk over and sit down in that class. And right up there on the front.
Yeah.
And his name would be put down that day, you know, to say get up and sing three songs.
Yeah.
And that's where they caught me in Tennessee, you know. I didn't know. I didn't think anybody would tell it on me up there, you know, and say anything about it. You know, we were singing down in Alabama, and it kind of caught me, you see, and I wasn't used to the songbooks and songs. I went over once or twice, looked over once or twice, and if I'd have got stage shocked, that didn't bother me so bad. I took sight singing, you see.
Yeah.
Just take up a songbook and go to sing it if I'd never seen it, you see.
Yeah.
But I sung tenor most all the time.
Yeah.
Because we had three right there that went to school with us, practiced all the time, was extra good tenor singers. And we'd go to these big classes, we'd go way off to different places, and we'd get together and sing tenor.
Have they last a week or more than that?
This is a day. Whole day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that'd be the last day of the school.
Yeah,
the last 2 weeks,
school.
Week and 2 weeks.
They last.
Just
two
like
weeks.
You was going to school back at that time. You
uh-huh.
went. You. When we went to school, then we had to be there at 8 o'clock. If we was
yeah.
3 or 4 miles from home, we walked 3 or 4 miles, and we had to be there. Didn't know how
well,
cold
now, on
it was.
On your class day, I'm trying to stop it on some one thing. See.
Uh-huh.
On your class day, now you sang all day. And then
the last day of the
last
school.
Day.
Yeah.
And they'd come in.
Just like
they'd give a place.
They'd come in, we'd invite them, come in and sing with us.
Yeah.
But when
and now sometimes just a few of them would sing, or a quartet would sing, and sometimes the whole shebang would
yeah.
sing.
Yeah. Just sing quartet. Sometimes we had some trained to sing duets, some sung a solo.
Yeah.
And then everybody would sing then. This class, called a class, you know, everybody sung that at the class.
Yeah.
Visitors and all, we'd invite them to come in. Of course, we went over where there's somebody else teaching school way off somewhere. We went over there with it and lined us up. Well, us
I don't quite get the class. Does that mean that?
That means everybody that's in there that sings.
Yeah.
Is singing in the, as called a class.
Yeah.
One is a solo. Two is a duet. Three is a trio.
Yeah.
And four is a quartet.
Yeah.
Six is a...
whatever it is. And then the whole shebang is a class.
Six is a... Six... maybe I'll speak it directly. Six tet. I can speak quite text. See, I can speak it plain then, you know, talk.
And then you have the whole class.
Well, then we'd mix it in, you see. And now down here, I don't know if I'll find out where that they are. If they are still singing down in here, we'll run down there someday. They have big dinners and everything, big tables set. It's not like going around and resting and eating.
It took a right smart just to make the arrangements, too, and get the food out there, didn't it?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of work done to that.
And this would be done on that last day.
Yeah, we'd have a big dinner that last day.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, we have those big singing conventions on Sundays, you know. If everybody come from different counties, there'd be several different counties of singers would come to them.
Yeah.
And you take up our third Sunday in May. Well, I don't know how many goes to Old Union Church up there. It's an old Primitive Baptist church.
Yeah.
And
Third Sunday in May.
And I've been missing it for several years, and I've been going up. I went up there a long time, ever.
You mean after you come
back?
Yeah,
I'd go up, I'd stay, I'd go up and visit my father and mother, you see.
Yeah.
And my sisters and brother-in-laws and all them.
And you'd be there the third Sunday in May?
Yeah, I'd try to be there the first Sunday in May at Old Sardis up there in Winston County. And third Sunday in May is at Old Union down there in Walker County before we'd moved from that church up there down there.
Yeah.
Well, I remember going to the Sunday school when I was about 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old. I had to walk 4 miles now. And went to Sunday school, and I remember my little Sunday school card they gave me and Christ's pictures on it, you know, and I went home. I was so proud to get the cat out home and show it to mother and dad. I never did. That's one thing I never have forgotten. No matter what happened.
Yeah.
I still remember that, just like us today.
Sunday school card.
Just a little Sunday school.
On one side and the verse. And
the verse and all that on there. That you studied. They give, by the way, children to all of them like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If you start going to church and Sunday school or going to something like that, it's better than going to baseball if I have played on Sunday. I know that. I fought trying it on Sunday. That isn't good to do that. You're supposed to, it's best to take one day off and rest.
Yeah.
And go and worship. You don't have to worship the same church. Everyone else is going to the same place, but you don't have to be... see everything just like I do, and I don't like you do.
Yeah.
But we can go ahead and work together. You know?
When did they sort of let up on that singing, Mr. Weaver?
Well, they have never sang on here just at church.
Yeah.
Down here and
down and here, lot, they never lot, quite
and so in Lake City and up in there and back to the other side of this side of Lake City and. In Walker County, there's some singers up there,
yeah.
And they go up in there and sing a great deal. I never did get to going up there, but I did go down here to all these other big singers. So when there's all the state people come from all over the state to those singing, and singing for a band, and you know, listening to those classes, they'd practice every night and every day, you know, and every fifth Sunday they had it down there somewhere. And had judges too. I mean, to see who was the best, who had the best class there. That makes everybody work hard and try to learn and do something.
Yeah,
it's just like crossfitting in school. I always did think that was about one of the best things that ever happened in school.
Yeah, you had to get up before, didn't
you? Yeah, that learned you to be standing up, you know, and it helped you about moving around and helped you in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And
but they don't have these things now.
Not around here, but they still have them up there. And I in Tennessee, they still have them up there around
as
in
much
that.
As they ever almost.
And now, you can go back up in there, and all those places still have those. They still have conventions. I don't know where. Well, the last time I was up there, of course, after I got sick, you know, I couldn't go back. I couldn't drive up there. See, I'm afraid to drive up there now.
Down here, they've got all these horse shows.
Well, they're getting too much, and it's to make money.
Yeah.
You see, that wasn't to make money back then, you see. The preachers back at that time, you know, the old Primitive Baptists wouldn't take any. No, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't take any money. It's all, but people would give them things, you know, and if you had more, people would see that if they needed help, that they got it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, those preachers would help anybody in the whole country there. Give them to them. Give them things, you know, if they needed it. And I don't believe anybody ever lost anything by giving it.
Yeah.
Of course, now you can't do those things. I don't guess they can do that like now up there, even like they could back when I lived up there.
Did you run across any fellas that were just downright poor and didn't have enough?
Not too much, because people usually found out if they're sick and didn't have nothing, somebody'd always help them till they get on the feet. But back at that time, it was a shame and disgrace if you didn't work up there.
Yeah.
And if you was crooked or stole anything up there, nobody had not anything to do with you. Not one thing to do with you if you was crooked or stole anything.
Well, now, some sections of the country, you see, if they go on and stretch yourself, some sections of the country would be sort of wore out, and the land would, be eroded, like they said, and they'd raise that old bumblebee cotton, and they couldn't hardly raise a family on that.
Well, there'd be somebody, but they'd take up church people then and take up collection and help people if they worked and tried to do, you know. But if they wouldn't work and wouldn't help themselves, they wouldn't help them so much.
Yeah.
But like someone that somebody in the family got sick and they had to look at them and they couldn't get out there and work, like one of you all got sick and you had to, they had to stay and wait on you, first thing you know, there'd be crowd coming in there and they'd just work that crop out for you and fix it just and put you right back on your feet and you make a good crop, just the same. The church people done that.
You know, there was a lot to learn back there, wasn't there?
Well, I was coming up in it. It wasn't much I could see it going on when I was just a little fella before I could even go to church or anything.
But you see, you learned that sawmilling?
Well, there's plenty I can learn now, but I'm getting too old to learn much now.
And that,
there's plenty to learn.
Blacksmith?
I didn't do any blacksmith very much, but what I did,
but
I
learned. You knew how?
I could fix some things now. I didn't practice on anything much.
Yeah.
When I came to Florida, I worked up here and helped the fellow in the blacksmith shop a little bit then. He needed a man, you know, to help him some there. And one day we had to go to Gainesville to get something, you know, and left me there. And here come a fellow with one of those big old man trucks. You know how large it was back then, the whole log zone?
Oh, yeah.
Coming down, wanted some rings made to go in the wheels of that, you know, about a quarter of an inch rings, and wanted to be perfectly round and come together just right. I said, I don't know how to do that. They said, we got to have them. If we got to go out tomorrow, we got to have them. I said, well, let's wait until Mr. Wicker comes in. I said, now, he knows how. They said, see, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you just go out there and do this. Go out there and take out one of those rings, let me see it. Let me look at that ring that he made.
Yeah.
I went back in there and I took my rule and badged around and marked it. See, where you wanted it to come together, you see. And I bent that around there and fixed it, you had to cut a degree on you. You couldn't cut a square. You had to cut a certain degree to make it go together. Then I had to weld that, and I wasn't a welder. But I'd watched him weld, you know, and I went ahead and welded that thing. I told him, I said, tell you what I'll do, I'll go ahead and make it, but Mr. Wicker comes in tomorrow, come back by. If they don't hold up, I said, it won't cost you anything. And they kept him. The next time he come back in, I wasn't there, you see, and he told me, he says, hey, come back, won't you make some more? I said, you like yours the best. Just luck, you know, that's just trying.
Yeah.
The reason I tell these things is around
I
people.
I can weld them, Mr.
What'd I say?
What, did you have a little welding stuff?
Yeah, little stuff to weld it, and I'd been watching other fellas weld, but I had never welded a thing in my life.
Well, what did you heat there?
Oh, you had coal there and a forge.
Yeah.
Forge, you know what a forge is.
Yeah.
And you made it, got that hot. When you made it hot, then you went to bend in your piece to come around and take the hammer and put around something round to make it, you see. And
then
keep
beat
on,
it in there.
And just keep on, you got it round. When you got it to come together round over here, just like my fingers coming together that way, and it perfectly round, then go out there and put it in that truck, you see. That was, it was a round washer, what it was, but yeah, it wouldn't have been so bad, but I had to weld it, you see.
Uh-huh.
I could figure the other pretty easy.
Yeah.
After I looked at it and seen it.
Yeah.
I'd always tried to fix little things myself, you know, and do little things, you see. Well, I was about 16, 17 years old, and we had these locks that you just, not mortise locks, just on that way, and springs broke in, and some of them slipped out.
Oh, yeah, those old flat locks.
Yeah. I said, you know, I'm going to fix those locks. I'm going to see if I can't fix them before we were going by in the morning. And
you know, that spring was about the cheapest thing in there, them old flat locks right there.
Yeah, you know, that spring in there was so crooked round and weighted, it was hard to get the measure on and figure it. Well, some of them spring is broke, and some of them slipped out, and those slipped out. I just put them back to the right place, you know. And there'd been a little piece of steel, about a quarter of an inch, close to a quarter of an inch wide. It'd been around there ever since I was a kid. My grandfather, see, he was good in anything like that, but my father wasn't very good at it. So that, I says, I believe that steel's down there at the barn. If it's about to find that, I says, I believe I can make those springs.
Yeah.
I went down there and measured them and had time to hold them, not let it slip to get the right. And I measured and put in there, and when they sold the farm, those springs and locks are still working.
I don't know how you'd make a spring, Mr. Wheeler.
Well, you just got to start looking at this old spring, put it down there and look at it, and just keep bending it every way it was bent.
But you got to get that.
Yeah, you had to.
Well, I never heard of it.
And you bend it that way. Well, all these people that does that kind of work can do that. But you see, I'm just a boy, and I hadn't.
Well, what did you start with?
What's that?
When you were making one, what did you start with?
I just took I had to take a coal chisel, didn't have a hacksaw then, and cut it off and take a file and file it towards like I wanted it at the end. Then I measured how long I wanted it. Then, you see, it bend, but there's springs of crooks different ways, you see.
Yeah.
You had to have one crook, put it, sometimes it'd have to have crook it right around, and very close to go right, fit right over something.
Yeah.
The others, it'd be crooked around in the middle, you see, and then these here crook out different ways here. Well, I'd look at that spring and I'd keep on making it, working with it chisel. I got that spring just like I wanted.
Yeah.
And when I got it like I wanted, I pulled it around in there, man, it was strong. That was a good piece of steel.
Well, now, don't you know, yesterday I said to you, you know, I asked you about that hammock. You just mentioned it in passing. When did you ever sit down and get your feet up?
Well, I've never been able to sleep as much as some people.
Yeah.
And I've often thought about what Shakespeare said about that. I believe it was Shakespeare, wasn't it? Says 5 hours good rest was worth more to a person than 8 In 12 hours, lying down in the bed and not resting.
Yeah, getting up tired.
And I've never been able to sleep too long at the time. I always wake up. I can retire at 9 o'clock now, and I'll wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock. And I'll roll, and with my blood pressure not being in circulation like I am, I have to get up a lot of times in the night and sit up hours. And that'll make my blood go to circulating better.
But now, it used to be you'd go to bed at 9, just sleep right straight through.
Oh, I'd go to sleep, you know. I'd be tired, and I'd come in after I'd eat, and I wouldn't need too much supper, did I? I'd roll all night, wouldn't rest any. And then next day, I couldn't eat, next morning, I couldn't eat breakfast. And I'd go out about 9 or 10 o'clock. I was so hungry, but I'd have to work on until 12 o'clock, you see.
Yeah.
And I said, I noticed in physiology, and when I was reading it in school, you know, it said not to eat and go to bed.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't let you be, if you ain't going to be a doctor now, they won't hardly let you study that subject, will they? And I say, I don't know. I don't know how they're running.
Yeah.
You don't get all the subjects. We had 9. 9 a day.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Reed. This when you rest, you've got so many things on your schedule, you don't have time to rest.
Well, I don't do very much work now. I'll have to work a few hours.
Now, time. I'm talking about all your.
When you run the business or anything like I was, I haven't been a great eagle my life, and you've got to get out and work now. People don't work now; they don't work like they used
to.
Man, are you talking about 5 or 6 hours? Well, it would make me tired, even a bit tired, back when I was young. Well, now, if I was just getting a habit of working 5 or 6 hours and quitting, you know, it'd probably work on me just like it does people today. But one thing, they don't take care of themselves, and you don't eat right.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. Now, you just don't sit down and rest.
Well,
I'm not talking about right now. I mean when you were in good shape.
Well, I always had to get up because I got up at 4 o'clock, you know, every morning. I had to get up and feed horses and cattle every morning. See, we had a herd of cattle, and I looked after that and then be ready to start walking to school at 6 o'clock, you know, and eat breakfast. We had to get up at 4 o'clock. Well,
now
my father.
All the time after you got big enough, that's all the time you lived with your parents.
Yeah, and I didn't get to go to school all the time. Sometimes, some years, I didn't get to go to school at all.
Not at all?
No, not any. And I never did get to go about 3 months at the time, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
At the time, I had to quit and go to the farm, you see.
Yeah.
I never did get to finish a year, but I'd pass my grades, you know, while I was in school. I didn't get to go any all the time, but I'd work 12 o'clock at night so I could pass over the bridge, you know.
And I see on Saturday you'd go in town and barber.
Well, I was working myself. I didn't barber, go in town and work when I worked for Dad. I'd work there. He kept me busy till Saturday night on the farm.
Oh, did he?
Somebody.
6 days a week?
Well, there's 14 of us in the family.
Yeah.
And I was about middle of the boys, you see. Well, girls didn't work much then. They'd get out and maybe pick up a little trash or something, or hoe a little bit sometimes, you know, and there's 5 girls.
Yeah.
And my oldest brother went to school, and Buck went to school, you see, and nobody to help them, you see. And they'd tell me I could go to school later, you know, or they'd have to keep me out that day, you know, to work, you see. Well, that made it hard on me going to school, and made it harder. But after all, I got as good education. I learned I could go out there on the farm and run a business, and they couldn't. I had the experience, you know, and just like running a farm, I could run a farm. But when I was 15 years old, better than a lot of people could at 25 years old, because they didn't
come. But you never did just sit down and rest.
All the time I would sit down is when I stopped at night and I'd go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Only way I like to fox hunting, sometimes I go fox hunting that night and come back and work the next day. They'd make it hard on me because I went hunting that night. Did I tell you all about me riding that cutaway hard, you know, and it drove me, you know, I'd go to sleep the next day.
No.
I tried to get them to let me plow, and they wouldn't do it. I told that yesterday, but you didn't listen to that.
No, I missed that.
And, you see, if I said I wanted to do anything because I went hunting, that way they punished me and make me do the other.
Yeah.
And Buck, see, he wouldn't go hunting. He went to bed with the chickens, you know. And, well, I didn't care. I didn't sleep no way. I never was a long sleeper.
Yeah.
Of course, he'd get up early in the morning. He'd get up at 4 o'clock. He had to get out there and feed those hogs when he was home. But most of the time, he was off staying somewhere going to school. And
he got more education than you have.
Oh, yes. He finished Howard College and went to Peabody at Nashville. I didn't even get to. I don't like to tell it, but I've had so much experience. I've got better education than he has by working and getting experience with somebody. See, if I'd have went to school like they do now, well, they just go half a day now. But when I went to school, it was 8 to 4. We had 15-minute recess at 9 o'clock, and 9:30 it was. And then we had an hour at noon. We got out and played ball. That's where I learned to play ball, you know.
Yeah.
With that hour, we'd get a few minutes at that 15 minutes, we'd play part of that.
Well, Buck never worked as much as you did then.
No, I guess...
After he went to school.
If I was 100 years old, I'd have my eight hours in. If I was 100 right now, I'd have my 8 hours in.
Yeah.
With hours that I put in, long hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt me too much if I can get 5 hours rest. But when I get down to 2 and 3 hours, now I went to bed, paid my hotel bill and rest an hour and get up and go back to work when I was in the fur business. But that didn't last but 9 days, and I had to tend to that. And then,
you know,
if
most
I could,
people would like to, in the old days, they had a nice front porch and you got an easy chair out there, and people would just love to sit down there and get feet up, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah, we didn't have time to get our feet up. Not when farming is going on. Now, after we our crop was laid by, you know, there'd be we'd have a little break there, but we'd usually Buck and I, we'd get out and Daddy'd get out and get a job, you know. He'd take maybe a pair of mules, you know, and go out there and haul lumber for people. All right, we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, winter or summer, you know, because if he was hauling lumber for some of these meals, you know, and Buck and I was working. Of course, Buck was in school so much. He didn't work the force as much as I did.
Yeah.
Not on the farm.
Well, what happened to you when you hunted all night and fell off, went to sleep on the air?
You see, when you get on level ground, you know, a little old growl would not making a little noise, you know, I'd be so sleepy, you see, and after a while I'd kind of go together, you see. And they'd hit a little old stick or rock or something, and I'd cut away. I'd go up this and I'd hit the ground over yonder. it was funny how it happened, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever fall down there in among those weeds, because big pair of mules pulling that going on fast, you see.
Yeah.
And he'd cut me all to pieces by that thing up in there.
Mr. Weaver,
he'd tell you if you where you went a hunting or not.
Yeah.
What kind of house did you grow up in?
What kind of house? Well, we had, you know, we had one of these new L houses. You've seen the L house and the rooms and the hall going through the L and the kitchen back off here.
Yeah.
Just like a L. And we had a new L house. When we moved, see, the fella just had built it when we bought that farm down there in Walker County. And we had the first house, part of it was a big log house that my dad, when they first married, hewed out logs about that wide and 4 inches thick and come back down as clay. It was the first house that they built. They didn't have lumber back at that time to build them. Built them out of log houses, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, they was warm, and I don't think they're good. And they'd stay there. I know this old house at this log part, then my uncle's put in a sawmill there.
And you started out in that old log house.
I was born in that log house. Born in that log house, and then my uncle's had a saw water mill, grist mill, and they put in a sawmill there, and it was run by water.
Oh.
And is a big dam across a big Clear Creek, and we lived on Little Clear Creek, run into Big Clear Creek, and it's about 3 miles from there, and you see. He hauled lumber there, good hard pine. They had plenty of it there on the farm. You see, he had two farms in. When I remember, I seemed to me like I remember when he first bought the Turner place. But the other place, he built a house before we was born that, you know, right there on Little Clear Creek. And someone was asking me questions, you know, not long ago, and asked me about that. And I told him, I'd tell him about it, you know, where it was, you know. And
he didn't build the L house. He bought
he,
it.
He fella built it and borrowed money from one of my uncles and my mother, and he wanted to sell it. You know, got to wanting to sell it, and my uncle didn't. He had plenty of houses, you know, and plenty. He didn't want it, and we went down there in Walker County and bought this. You see,
well,
I was about 12, 13 years old then. And
let's see, was it two story?
No, it was one story. And we added to it. We added to that. See, it was two bedrooms and the kitchen and dining room and a hall. Then we added to it when we moved down there.
Well, now, let's see. There in the front, on both sides of the hall, was there bedrooms?
Yeah, there's bedrooms. Uh-huh. And you see, back at that time, I didn't have living rooms like I do now, you see. Very few living rooms were built back at that time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they everybody just used they built them large. They didn't build a little bit of runny houses.
Yeah.
And you could put two beds or four beds in one of those big whole beds,
yeah.
If you wanted to.
That's right.
Of course, we never did put that many
did
in.
Did they all have a fireplace?
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them.
They were, but well, there's one built there, then my dad had one built to the other end of the house. And you know what they built them out of? There's a man that'd go out there and in the rocks and dig them out and cut pieces to go from across that chimney
right.
There.
Big
block it out 4 inches wide,
yeah.
Thick,
yeah.
And 12 inches wide, and he'd lay that up there and take lime and mortar that there, and you're talking about drawing that. And throwing heat, he knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, Dad had him to put that to the house, and then we had some room, and the house's ceilings was high enough until I cut the stair steps and put in the stair steps I'd never seen in a build, and we fixed some bedrooms upstairs.
Oh, you did.
And we fixed two bedrooms upstairs there.
Yeah. So it was two.
Then I added one. One to, on the back side of the building. I added another bedroom around there. I did that myself. I cut those stair steps strangers. I'd never seen any cut. I'd have got tore up if I hadn't done a good job on it. I had nothing but a saw, and square and a level. I may have had a rule, and I had to size that stuff. It was roughed up and plane it, dress it with a plane.
How'd you make it upstairs? Just because the ceiling was high?
The ceiling, well, we had room up there, you
see
it. I told him that I was going to do that. I was going to fix that and put it up there, and he was going to get somebody else, supposed to get somebody else to cut those stringers, you see. But he had a marriage for a while, and he went to town, and I didn't have anything I had to do that day, you see, especially. So when he'd be going all day and come back, get back about 8 o'clock, he had to go 8 miles from the car off a load of stuff, you see, and he'd be about 8 o'clock and he'd get back at 9, you see. Just as soon as he left, we got up, he left about 6 o'clock, you know. I went out there.
Where did you put your stringers, Mr.?
I put them out there in the hall.
Yeah.
And
raised your roof?
No, I didn't raise the roof. It was large enough until I could, and it's high enough up. See, the ceiling wasn't up like these low houses here, you see.
Yeah.
It's built, the ceiling was 8 feet high, but it was the house was upright as one high. It was about 3 or 4 feet higher than the ceiling was.
Yeah.
I
see. And
Then you could add to them if you wanted to. See,
you had a pitch to the roof,
yeah.
So it'd give you a little narrow room.
And it was a 6-12 pitch. Well, I'd give it to kind of like this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's 2 or 3 feet high on out edge here. And I just went up in it all over the whole house. Big large room,
yes.
You see. 16 feet across that. Well, it wasn't no trouble to get a good bedroom up there.
Well, what'd you use for a window? Put it in the end?
They put it in the end up there. I cut it down and put it in myself.
Yeah.
And now, if you get out and figure, and I'd studied arithmetic so hard when I was in school, I remember how it said to do things. Mm-hmm. And I got there, and I got the distance up there, and you couldn't cut it on a standard by the distance I had to cut. To go halfway up, I wanted to walk out in the highest part. Well, I just got up there and figured out, put my level down here, and cut this one end off till I got it where it come just where I wanted and fit the floor.
Yeah.
Then I took the square and measured. Got the material I was going to use and measured exactly for the length of how much I wanted to cut my crotch and how much 7 or 8 inches rise I believe I put on it. I put a 6 or 7 inch rise to it. And that's what I wanted to cut my material. I believe it figured out about 7 inches rise that I had. And I wanted so many steps to come right up at the top, and I had to figure all that out and just how to cut it.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't cut it on a regular scale, but the distance I had. I had to cut it in the material I was using that we had there for me to use. I had to figure that too, you see. I figured that out and put them in. I had it all fixed up and always put in here, and Dad come walking in that night. He began to look up at it, you see. I knew I'd done a good job on it. And all he ever said to you, he said, well, he said, he done pretty well. He said, I won't have to get a carton to do that now. And that's what he, I never would forget. That's all he ever said to me, you know, said he did pretty well.
Now,
and
you people didn't paint the houses for a long time this week.
No, I'll tell you what, so that was a new house, and a lot of people painted them. But I paid a good painter to paint it. I told Dad, I said, I'll pay for that paint. I had a good gun that the fellow wanted, a little 22 Smith & Wesson pistol.
Yeah.
He said he'd paint that house for you.
By George.
And I said, put 3 coats of paint on it, and he was good.
Yeah.
And I acted foolish. And I'm going to tell you, he is from Tennessee. He got my gun, and my dad bought 30 gallons of paint for him to paint. He figured it up and everything, and he left and sold a lot of Dad's paint and took my gun and didn't paint the house. Very seldom anybody do that back in those days.
Yeah.
But this fella did that.
Well, he just skinflint, wasn't he?
Now, a fella that he is working for, I think he was in that, too. He painted here. He took my dad's paint back and swapped it and got some paint to paint wagons with some different things. He painted his wagon and worked for that man, you see, and I think he used a lot of Dad's paint on that. We got part of paint, but it wasn't enough to start to paint the house there.
Well,
but he got my gun. I wouldn't have sold a gun, but that was a heck of a price for that,
know,
to getting that house painted for it. That's the reason I was trading with him.
You know, in them days, you trusted people, Mr. You
Oh, yeah, you take
care. You didn't figure, now, this man.
You can't do that now. You can't start to do that now.
You wouldn't say, now, this man might beat me. I'm just going to hold on to this gun till he gets sued. You never would do that.
Now, you didn't have to back then. Hardly ever. You didn't want to beat you.
No.
But you take sometimes, Ed, fellas, that way, I don't know. I guess I'd have done it too, probably, on the way off from home and wanted to went back home. I probably would, too, but I don't think I would. I never did. I never did have to do anything like that. I went hungry, but and I worked for 2 weeks from a board off that way, but I never did.
I didn't beat nobody. You didn't get your house painted then?
No, I didn't get it painted then. They painted it later.
But you didn't.
But that was hard pine. You didn't have to paint it much.
That's it.
Yeah. It's hard pine, you know, and it they'll just last on and on. And if you paint them, it makes them look a lot better, but if you get too strong, well, see, that wasn't turpentine. And you had to let it stay there a long time for you. If you didn't, the rosin would make the paint peel off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't paint them when you first built them. If you did, out of that good hard pine we had up there, and we'd have to watch it, and if it showed too much heart in it, we couldn't put that board up, you know. If it did, you couldn't paint it.
It's pretty not painted.
Now, if you don't, it was pretty dead.
Oh, you know, I don't think there's anything nicer than just weathered wood.
I don't either.
Well, you take
in good wood now, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in good shape, but just weathered.
After I came to Florida, now I went back up there and I turned and drove to the old home place in Winston County. Drove in there and the road was filled up going down.